Among the various Rishonim, the early Mefarshim, where they were discussing, who somehow make reference to the Chovos Halavos, and gives us a picture regarding the godless of the Chovos Halavos, and also the Tkufa that he lived in. So one of the Gedolim HaMefursamim, regarding which one can use the Lashon, the great admirers of the Chovos Halavos, was the Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra himself was born in 1089 in Tudela in Spain, and he was Nifter around 1164 or so, something like that. Interesting just to point out that the Eben Ezra is of course one of the very popular Mefarshim and Rishonim al HaTorah. Eben Ezra in his early life was spent mainly in Cordova, that was the city where the Rambam lived, and basically he devoted most of his time to studying Torah. But as we find that not uncommon to Rishonim at that Kufa, that they mastered all the various disciplines as well. And the Eben Ezra was no different than the others, in the sense that he acquired great proficiency in philosophy, in mathematics, and in astrology. And of course, we see his great strength in Lashon Kodesh, in grammar, in the Digduk. And what's unfortunate that despite the extraordinary abilities that the Eben Ezra had, but nevertheless, his various financial ventures were not successful. And the Eben Ezra, more than any of the others, was known as living really in poverty, in great poverty. And he was very friendly, and we should come to no surprise, with Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Yehuda Halevi, of course, was the great Titan, the great poet, and so on, great master of the Lashon Kodesh in particular. And that was, of course, that we know the godless of the Eben Ezra. So they were very, very friendly. And interesting is that according to some legends, it's not really 100%, as they say, one can take a cries for that, that they say that in time that, in fact, the Eben Ezra married the daughter of Yehuda Halevi. Among the misfortunes in his life, in addition to poverty, was that he lost his wife. He lost his wife untimely, and left him with a small son, Yitzchak, and the other children also died in infancy. So it is just amazing to see all the great sorrows that such great people lived through, and yet were able to achieve and accomplish so much in spite of that. Just to mention that due to the various situations, there was uprisings in 1135, so Eben Ezra goes into exile with all the other Yidden, and so on. He makes his way, he arrives in Rome, and it's interesting that it is in Rome that he began to really to write and compose his Pirush al HaTorah. That was in Rome, and when he started, actually, he started with Koheles, and so on, going through all of Tanakh. Interesting is that his fame was very Mefursim, far and wide, and wherever he arrived, he was received very enthusiastically. And interesting is that one of the great Baal HaTosis, probably certainly one of all time, Rabbeinu Tam himself, gave him tremendous kovet. And Eben Ezra is mentioned also in Tosis in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, or Aleph, and also mentioned in Masechta Kedushin in the Sugi of Chodosh over there. Just to mention one more nekuda, that the Eben Ezra traveled to London, where he composed, which is known as called Yesod Moira. Yesod Moira, which explains the reasons for the various mitzvahs, and also he wrote something called Igeres HaShabbos. Why did he write Igeres HaShabbos? He writes Igeres HaShabbos, proving the Shabbos is to be observed from the sundown Friday, he says, until nightfall on Shabbos. Whereas there were opinions, interesting that there were opinions that felt that maybe Shabbos goes from the dawn of Shabbos, from the morning of Shabbos, till the morning of Sunday. And he wrote a pirush called Igeres HaShabbos. You can understand that this must have been something that sort of like threatened the true identity of when the Shabbos day in fact should be, that he found it necessary enough, and that probably one can imagine that there were some sort of, at least on the surface, some cogent arguments to that point, that he felt it was necessary to refute it. And he wrote that sefer called Igeres HaShabbos, among that. Let me just point out that Ibn Ezra, of course, one of the great Paitonim also, and the Ravid refers to him, and I'll always quote you the Lashon, how the Ravid number one, the first Ravid, with three Ravids. Ravid number one writes on him, he says, the last, he says, of the great men who formed the pride, he says, of Spanish, he says, Judaism, and who strengthened, he says, Klal Yisrael, he says, with his song and words of comfort. So, interesting to point out that the Ibn Ezra refers to the Chovas Avodas in Parshas Hazinu and calls him Rabbeinu. And noteworthy that the Ibn Ezra calls the Chovas Avodas Rabbeinu, because go through the entire Pirush of the Ibn Ezra and he mentions a whole slew of great people, of course, in his time. Very rarely does he refer to anybody with the title Rabbeinu. So one of the very few that somehow received that title of Rabbeinu from the Ibn Ezra was the Chovas Avodas. And of course the Ibn Ezra together with Moshe Ibn Ezra, both of them wrote the great Shvachim, the praises that we discussed a few weeks ago between Rav Shlomo ben Gavirol, one of the great philosophers, one of the great tzaddikim of all time. And what was noteworthy again is that he wrote a Kitzur Chovas Avodas, as it is called, the Rav Shlomo ben Gavirol. And which, of course, tells us that, and it is would not be far-fetched to say that a lot of the great sitkis of Reb Shlomo ben Gavirol was due to the fact that he himself not only studied the Chovas Avodas, but in fact, as we said, wrote a Tuntras, right, Tikkun Amidos Vanefesh, it's called, which is a takeoff on most of the Shiorim of the Chovas Avodas. Which I mention at least one more of the great people of the time of the Chovas Avodas. We show tremendous affection and chavivis to the Chovas Avodas, and that is one of the Choshev Rishonim, Rabbeinu Meshulam Bar Yankov of Lunel. These were from the French Balatoises of Provence, and Rabbeinu Meshulam Bar Yankov of Lunel, basically he was nifted around 1170 or so, around that kufa, so he lives in the mid-1100s. Rabbeinu Meshulam was the Rebbe of the Ravid who wrote the criticisms on the Rambam, the Hasogis HaRavid. The Rebbe of that Ravid was Rabbeinu Meshulam Bar Yaakov. And interesting to point out that he was described, Rabbi Shulam Bar Yaakov, was described by one of the most famous travelers, of course, that we know was Rabbi Yomin of Tudila. Binyom Tudila traveled all over the place, you know, which was a tremendous feat even today if someone should travel to so many Mekaymas, and he recorded what he found, the various Jewish communities there. And so he visited Lunel. Lunel, of course, was then at that time was a great haven of scholars of all kind. Many, many of the great Rishonim who lived then. And he pointed out, he was there in 1165. And he pointed out that Rabbeinu Meshulam was the head, he says, of the scholars of the city. And he talks about the great Talmid Chachamim of his sons, of Rabbeinu Meshulam, and so on. So Rabbeinu Meshulam, Lomaise, asked Rabbi Yehuda Evan Tibon that he should translate for him. He had a personal request. The Rabbi Yehuda Evan Tibon, who ultimately was the one, of course, who translated the Chovas Avodas. That's the translation. When we learn Chovas Avodas, the Hebrew, that's from Yehuda Evan Tibon. But Rabbeinu Meshulam asked Rabbi Yehuda to translate it from the Arabic, he said, particularly Shar HaYichud. He was interested in particularly Shar HaYichud, which is the gate of unification. And he wanted it to be translated. So the fact is, you can see that he commissioned Rabbi Yehuda Evan Tibon to translate it because he commanded both languages, Rabbi Yehuda Evan Tibon. Again, is just another testimony, of course, to the high esteem of the Chovas Avodas. And then finally, we should say, is Rabbeinu Tam himself. Rabbeinu Tam himself, by the way, Rabbeinu Tam was nifter in 1171. And interesting that one of these Sfarim, we already talked about that, which is the Sefer HaYoshel Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Sefer Musar, which is not according to all opinions, was the Mechaber Rabbeinu Tam, and yet in the Welt it has been accepted as such that the Mechaber of the Sefer HaYosher is Rabbeinu Tam. It's called Sefer HaYosher Rabbeinu Tam, and there in the Sefer HaYosher he writes the following. Rabbeinu Tam writes it, assuming that he was the Mechaber, and again it is adopted by many, many. Rabbeinu Tam is considered to be the Mechaber of the Sefer HaYosher. So if so, Rabbeinu Tam writes that he maschil be'ezras hokeil, I start, Bezus Hashem, Ve'oimer, Kereisi Svarim Rabim Benichbodim. I saw a lot of Svarim who talk about Musar, Binyan Avoides Okeil. Kegoin, Sefer Chovas Avodas, he says, Lahachosid, Rabbeinu Bechaye, Ben Pekudas Achoin Lavrocha. And also, interesting, in Shar Ravi of Sefer Yosher, the fourth Shar, he writes that I advise people to take the time to study Musar here and there, So who does he point out? Well, istakil tomid b'chiburei hatzadikim kegoin. Chibur hachosid, Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Pekuda zechon levrocha. So the fact that we see that he points out of all the various svarim akoponim, and he mentions Rabbeinu Bechaya, again, is clearly a testimony, of course, to the high esteem that the Chovas of Ovis was held, you know, not only, of course, in later generations, but even to contemporaries, contemporaries Doris immediately after him and so on, the greatest of all time, which appreciated the Chovas of Ovis. We will take a look, Rabbi Isai, on the sheet over here. And what we have now is a very interesting, talking about this inyan, when we talk about bitochin, the attitude of how a person should appreciate whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So we have here again from the Sefer Kava Yosher. Again, mentioned many, many times, we've featured it many times on Shabbos in the Chumash here and so on. Just to remind you that the Kava Yosher lived, or actually was Nifter in 1670. So most of his life he lives in the earlier part of the 1600s. He was the son of a Godel Hador, Reb Aaron Shmuel Kaidenover, the Mechaber of the Sefer Birches HaZevach. Birches HaZevach on Kochim and Seder Kochim. And he, together with his father, due to various pogroms, they lived in Vilna, they went to Nikolsburg, they went to Gluga, they went to Kruke, and then he went to Frankfurt. And he was ultimately, he was Nifter in Frankfurt. We pointed out that in Vilna, some libel was set up against him. As a result, he was imprisoned, the Kava Yosher was imprisoned for 4 years. And the Tzvi Hirsch was his name. The Tzvi Hirsch Kaidenover was the Sefer Kava Yosher. And it was a Sefer that was adopted and was considered at the time to be one of the most popular Musas for him, because the Musa that he gave was also in a very, very calm Lushan. Not in a way of a frightening way, but in an appeasing type of way. In a certain oifen that it would appeal to men, women, and children alike, although there are a lot of scary stuff over there also. But Kulponim, it was a Sefer that years ago was something was very choshev. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to point out that there was Kufis, going back hundreds of years ago, that the Sefer Kava Yosher was a Sefer that there used to be an assembly in the Beis HaKnesses in the shul, men, women, and children, and the Gabbai of the shul, I don't know why the Gabbai of the shul, would learn a shir from the Sefer Kava Yosher, because it was filled with the Havas Yisrael, and the words of Misur were something that would be received, would able to be received in a very calm manner, a very comforting manner. So it's very common to have the Sefer Kav Yosher taught on a regular basis with an assembly of Anoshim, Noshim, Vetaf, and the Gabbai of the Shul. We'll discuss it. Among the many things that he points out very, very frequently is the Gabbai Ashirim, people who are rich. They shouldn't flaunt it, as we're going to see a little bit over here. And as well also to have the Rachmanis of people who don't have what they have. And therefore to share whatever the good fortune Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them, that you'd have the fortitude. So he always took up the plight for the underdog, for the aniyim, very, very strongly. Good chelik of the Sefer Kav Yosher is about that. I just want to mention that, of course, one of the great poskim of all time, the Prima Godim himself, Prima Godim writes, as a matter of fact, interesting, regarding the mile of the Sefer Kav Yosher, writes the Prima Godim, that the Sefer was so popular, once upon a time, he says that, Ein benimtza, he says, Kim echod be'ir ishnaim b'mishpochetz. You can't find it. Why can't you find it? So he writes, because of Mishi Yeshloi, whoever had the Sefer, Goynes Oysoi, says, Bechadre Chadorim. Whoever had it would hide it somehow. Guess who's afraid it would be stolen? He writes, whoever had it would be Goynes Oysoi. However, he says, Ve'en Chachomim Oydon Loi. However, he says, the Chachomim, Rabbonim Das Torah does not agree with that. Le Mishi Goynes, this is a Sefer, he calls it Refuas HaNefesh. It's a Sefer on Refuas HaNefesh. You have Refuas HaGuf, this is Refuas HaNefesh, that's what a Sefer Musar is. Sefer Musar is Refuas HaNefesh, he says, and everybody should have the opportunity to be able to learn from it. So he writes, Shekol Devar of Nemorim, Behaske Lu Musar, he writes further, he says, Be'er Heitev, Yismachu HaKoinim Boy, Shovel Ochol Nefesh, both of Tamir HaChomim, Vamaratzim, and he also says, Venoshim Kulam, says everybody. Everybody can find Kulam Yizbul the Toiva. So writes the Prima Godim. Very, very fascinating regarding it. And certainly the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe Meilech, the Talmid of the Magid, the Koshitz of Magid, and so on, learned it not once. They always used to write and pride themselves of learning it 100 times, 102 times, because Kav, Kiminyan Kav, Kuf Beis, and so on and so forth. So we take a look here at the Kava Yosher. Kava Yosher here in Perik Yud Ches. And he starts out to say, Uma Me'oid, Mazir B'Sefer HaCharedim. Here he quotes, he says, from the Sefer HaCharedim. Sefer HaCharedim is a Sefer HaMitzvahs. Sefer HaCharedim is someone who lived in the 1500s in Tzfas. He was the Ben Doiroi, of course, and together the Chaverim of the Beis Yosef. Realize the Tkufa we're talking about. Sefer Charedim Rabbi Lozer HaZakri lived in Tzfas at the time of the Beis Yosef, the time of the Yalshech, the time of the Ariya Kodesh. And as a matter of fact, he was the Shamus of the Shul. Beis Yosef was the Mordeasra, the Yalshech was the Magid. The Ariya Kodesh, of course, was the Ariya Kodesh. And his godless actually was revealed. He was the Tzadik Nister. Was revealed by the Arizal himself, because they would frequent Tzfas and Miron is very close, and they would go up from time to time and spend days in Miron by the cave of Shimon ben Yochai, and certainly on Lag BaOmer. And all of a sudden, with all the dancing and all the singing and all the simcha taking place on Lag BaOmer, as is known in Miron, Ariya Kodesh, all of a sudden he leaves the crowd and he goes and he takes the hands of the Bala Charedim, Rav Lozer HaZakri, and begins to dance with him. Nobody could understand, he's dancing with the Shamas of the Shul. Why is he doing it? And the Ariya Kodesh said, he says, if I see Reb Shimon ben Yochai himself dancing with him, he says, shouldn't I dance with him? He says, that was one of the first openings about the godless of Reb Lozer HaZakri, the Balach Redim. He was Nifter in 1600, so he lived in the 1500s. It's a Sefer HaMitzvahs, but again, giving also reasons for mitzvahs, B'derech Musar, and so on and so forth. And the Chido himself, the Chido, when he writes about him, he says just a few words that I can just bring out. Shomanu, he says, Mukdushosoy uplo'oy shenasoloy bekushtendine. In other words, when he lived in Turkey, he said, we heard about the great Kiddusha and the Nefloyes and all the Moifsim surrounding, he says, the Bala Charedim. He was a tremendous person. And also the Chidah writes, he was one of the Yechidim Boididim. When the Yechidim, who received Smich, if you're familiar with the great controversy in the time of the Beis Yosef with the Marie Beirav, to reinstate the old Smich. Not Smich, what you call today Smich. You know, you get up a hair and you're a day and you get a letter of Smich. Talking about the original Smich, which should have the Koyach of Smich as it was in the time of Chazal. Somehow to be able to reinstate it, something like a koyach of a Sanhedrin. The big machloek is whether you can do it today. Beis Yosef held no, and the Mahari Beirav held yes, and smicha was given lemaisa for a while. And the Chidor writes that the Balach Redim was one of the few that received smicha from Mahari Beirav, which was supposed to be the ultimate highest level of a smicha. So in any case, so here the Kav Yosha brings down from the Charedim. Kredim says that Shizel Bechlal Mitzvah Sasei Shel Higadeti Hayim Lashem Alekecho Ki Bosi Eloretz HaToiva, which means when a Yid is Zoich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, gives him the bracha that he finds the first fruits of Bikurim, he finds the very first fruits of the Zion Minim, of the very special seven species in Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says that what, that before he avails himself for himself, he should first bring him Matana, go up to Yerushalayim and bring it to the Kohen. And the Yid is supposed to say the Kriyas HaParasha, he got it Yehayim L'Hashem L'Kech, to express his appreciation of all the things that Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and brought me to this land, to this wonderful land, and gave me the privilege to be able to be Zoche to see the first fruits of my labor. So he says the Pasuk, he got it Yehayim L'Hashem L'Kech, ki bosi Lord Tzatov. He says the Charedim, included in that mitzvah, that when a Yid brings Bikurim, it's not limited to Bikurim. The hashkofe of saying he got it tihayim l'shem alakecho kibosi eloharetz atoiva mikan, says the Charedim, azora al bnei yodom hamikablim toive v'ashpoa m'shem yizborach. Yid was zoicha to be the beneficiaries of a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you good fortune, he gave you gizunt, he gave you health, he gave you parnosa, you're able to buy a new house or whatever the situation is. Litein shevach v'hoidoe. Charedim says, in other words, when we talk about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the good fortune, it's not just a nice thing to do. According to the Charedim, it's a mitzvah saseh. It's a very fundamental thing. It's a very fascinating thing. When you see people getting up at a simcha, which is very choshev, and you say we should give a shevach for Ador to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is able to make a chasana, it's not just material for a drosha. According to the Charedim, it's a mitzvah saseh. It's a saseh to be able to express, Hakoras atoyv to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Where does it come from? It comes from he got it yihayim l'Hashem alakecho kibosi l'oretz atoyv. So this is a warning. This is a warning for people b'nei yodim who are mekabel toyv ashpoa meshem yisbor to give shevach v'doah. And v'loy likrois koil kuvlini, he says, kederach tzari yoayim. Now there are people, when they have good fortune, so they always like to complain. Why they complain? Because they're afraid that people are going to find out that they came upon a fortune, then all the aniyim are going to knock on the door and they're going to have to keep giving tzedakah all the time. So therefore they try to downplay it. So he says, don't be like those people who words of mouth instead of words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaToyv to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you see, he says, and you start complaining and all the negativity that comes, the words of complaint, he says, kederach tzari ho'ayim, like stingy people, he says, asher yoyser, He says the girsa in the other sfarim is man hatzayrech noisen lahem Hashem mozer nemichyot. People are zayrech because Baruch Hu gave them more than you can, that you actually need. Because Baruch Hu gave a little bit more. So you have a little bit more, and yet v'chol yemeim hem boichim v'koivlim neged oilam. But the God of the world, they keep crying as if you're not happy, as if you're not satisfied. You could always use more. Halavai Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me more. So no matter how much you have, but the impression on the outside is, to the outside world, that you wish you would have had more. You don't have enough. Ki lein lohem pas lechol, he says. They have the attitude that someone who wouldn't know would think that mamish, you don't have any bread to eat. The kol tuv hen biyodam. And lamai said they have kol tuv v'toiv. They have everything good. So why are they so complaining? He says, "V'chol kavanosam hu limenoya hu aniyim ve'viyoyinim mepesach beisam." This is something that we mentioned a moment ago. That is again just another indication that he always took the side, every opportunity, the side of the aniyim, that the Ashirim should really do their duty in sharing the good fortune with others who have less than they have. And here again, he's pointing out the importance. Valzen emar, he says, those Ashirim who can afford to share and they don't want to share. The Pasuk in Tehillim refers to them. What does the Pasuk say in Tehillim? Ze'oni korov Hashem shomea. There's the Oni Nebuch who cries out because there's nobody there to help him. But David HaMelech says, Vashem shomea. Hashem hears. Hashem listens to the cry of the Oni. The Ein hatfila shel ha'oni zoz, says the Kav HaYosher. The tefillah of the Oni does not move away. It's standing there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That tefillah, the penetrating tefillah of the Oni. Achiyaver aleim koishal pronius. Chaz v'sholem, this could cause a tremendous oynish on behalf of the Ashirim who do not share with the aniim. Sheboin heimel klal hadalus, which should cause them to come themselves into poverty because they already have good fortune and they don't have the heart and the good sense to share it with the aniim. Hagama shebevadai comes very quickly to the Kav HaYosher. Listen, when I say that the Yosher should not complain, does not mean that on the other hand he should flaunt his Ashiris. I don't mean that either. There is a midpoint. When I say that the Yosher should not complain and say I don't have enough and this, all that, doesn't mean he should say the opposite. I have. Doesn't mean he should say it the other way either. That means he should keep flaunting it. Hagami says, Asher bevadu gam kin toiv l'kayim azor zecha chomeinu zal. Certainly, it's avadu a good thing what Chazal have told us. Lebilti lehisroes bifneum esoilam. Not to show off in front of the goyim. Bepirsum, he says, ba'ashiris. Yaakov Avinu already warned the Shvatim, the brothers, that they should not be showing off, and therefore we should also go down to Mitzrayim like anybody else to buy food in order not to arouse the kine and the envy of the surroundings of the neighbors. And look what he says further. Ubifrati says she be itim alolu, especially in our time. You realize he's talking about in the 1600s. Bifrat she be itim alolu bavoy nesenu horabim ha'umois, the nations. The Gentiles hem neusnen ein b'momen shel soros. If I get an issue, they have their eyes of Yiddish geld. Whenever they see a Yid has money, say, so what? She said, what purpose? What good does it do? He said that the oisher should flaunt what he has and show off what he has. V'toiv ma'oidi says lachasois ulahalim ha'oisher bifneim. Regarding the musoilam, he says, don't flaunt it. Regarding the Gentiles, he says, don't show off. He says. However, regarding to the Ani and Faket, you should show, he says, Ochen Laharis, Ponim Shal Masbirois, but to show a friendly face, Ponim Shal Ahava Verotzim, if the Ani and Vidalim Vivyoinim, Zeurotzim Aboiris Barath. Don't flaunt it, Legabadumis Oilom, but Avada to show and to share, and to have a heart, Legabad the Ani, Avada, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you. Ubifrati says, Hamis Achsim Bebeise Aniim Vidalim Hagunim, especially someone who hosts Aniim, he says, worthy Aniim, Zoichi says, Lahar Bebrochus. And here comes a very, very fascinating segula. You heard a lot of things maybe about Achnosa Sorchim. There's so many Mamor Chazal, we know what Achnosa Sorchim means. But here comes a very interesting segula. Vahar Benoshim Akorois Nifkodois Bishus, Shemefarnesim Umachalkilim Aniim Vavirim Hagunim Lushem Shemai. Very fascinating thing. Women, for some reason, were not childbearing women. Women, for some reason, just didn't have children yet. Many, many years went by. One of the zgulas, he says, and he says, not just a zgula, he says, he's telling you a fact. Harbe anoshim akorois nifkodois. He's telling you, Metzias, this is what happened. I'm just telling you, it's a good idea. This might be a good zgula. He's telling you the fact that many noshim akorois, women who were not able to bear children, who did not have children, is because they used their talents to be mefarnes and to feed and to house and to host aniim l'shem shemayim v'zoichet z'bracha. So it goes down further, and look what he tells us as following. Now he tells us an account. Kaviyoshe tells a mice about an old man. It was in the time, by the way, in the Hagoyes of the Sefer here. This is a new edition. There's many, many editions that were printed. Points out that this was Takimamish in the time of 1492, during the time of the expulsion. It was a time, 1492, and Ishzok and Echo, the Rabbi Chil, tells us his name. The name of that year was Rabbi Chil. And he lived in a town that was by the seashore. That Yid Rabbi Chil lived in a town and a city by the seashore. Being that there were gzeres, right? Forcing Yidden to convert. In the mentioned countries. So many Yidden fled. Made him fled to other countries. The Rabbi Chil that we mentioned above, he lived at first, he says, Besfar Medinas Italia. He lived like by the end of Italy. Like at the end, by the border, close to the border. Why? Because he wanted that to be a place to be able, as a bridge, to go further. Because they lavar el eretz toigrima, which was considered to be Turkey. Rabbi Chil hoye zoket. Chil was already an ish zoket, an elderly person. Vayedor be'ir asher al choif hayom, lived by the seashore. Vahu ishtam v'yosher, was an el chayit. Vayemikabel kol ho'aniyim v'ashirim, he said, b'sefer ponim yofis. Who's Makabal, everybody, he says, with a friendly face. For you must be called Mayim Umozin. We give him food and drink. And he would escort them. Then also them say the Laderach. In addition, he also gave them right provisions on the road. He spent quite a bit of money. Expense on the Yorchim. He gia Esuzman in a particular day. Four exiled people, chachomim gedolim, great chachomim, would be roisom. And when they saw, they came to his house, and he saw his kvoid oishroi ugdulos of difartoi, and he saw his ashiris, and he saw his godless, and he saw the beauty of him, and his whole heart. He says the liboy hator, but he also saw, in addition to that, his pure heart. Shohayin divleiv, who was an exceptionally extraordinary, generous person. Shagomal chesed boti mashirim vanim lechol b'nei agoilot. Anybody who was exiled, anybody needed help. Sho'alu har bo zekenim emenu. So the four zekenim, great chachomim, so they asked him, Ma b'kashos chom aboyeris baruch. What would you want? What's your request? Apparently great people, they were able to be memala. He said, what is your request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We want to give you a bracha. We like to give you a bracha. We say, Baruch Hashem, you have everything, and we see the great heart you have. We see the great nadvin you are, the great bal chesed, the great balach nos asarchim. What's your bakosha, Makadi Baruch Hu? The heishiv bakoshosi hu she'ezke lebonim. He had everything, but didn't have children. Didn't have children. I'd like to be zoiche to have children. Ki lo hoi lo zera. Vayoyim ru elov harbo zekenim an eskoyim leil. So the four zekenim mentioned before, they said to him, Tia ato betuach, you can be sure, shebetoich shona zu, within this year, yeitzei mechalotzecho ben godol betoire, not just a son. You're going to have a ben godol betoire, and the tikra shmoy Avraham. And we're advising you, he says, that you should give him, when this happens, give him Avraham. Why? L'simen, you should always remember why you were zeichet to have a son. Such a son, especially. L'simen shasiso chesed im zer Avraham. They did chesed within. And maybe Takabram Avinu was the Rosh of Baal Chesed. The Kashiv Ticholoi Ken Hoya, says the Kaviyosha. The way they promised him, Ken Hoya, Shiyotso Memeno, and he says who? Benoi Hagoin Hagodol Rabbeinu Avram, he says, Mipisa, Pisa is Pisa, in Italy. The Higdul Betoirim Oid Vechiber Chiburim Harbe Adkan. So Kaponim, so just give us a little bit of an idea here again of the attitude. You know, Yid is Zoichit to good fortune, to have the Seicho. To recognize what a Zachrayas is and what to do with it, and also the tremendous things that a Yid is able to be zoiche further to utilize the good fortune that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Which brings us, Rabbi Sai, let's go to the Chovis Albovis now. Go to Chovis Albovis. In the regular Chovis Albovis that the Yolam has, it's Omud Reish Lamed Beis. It's 8 lines from the top. Reish Lamed Beis. You have the, I don't know which Chovis Avodah, you have the edition that the Olam is using. Look at Reish Lamed Beis.
Reish Lamed Beis. Eight lines up. It starts Valkein Atomoitse Shmuel. Count eight lines from the top. Valkein Atomoitse Shmuel Olav Hasholem. All right. Just to remember what and where the Chovas Avovis is referring to. Okay. Chovas Avovis mentioned in the previous chapter, or in the previous paragraph rather. Chovas Avovis mentioned that even though a person, the bitachon of a person, the imun of a person is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls a person's destiny, that does not give a person a license to put himself in a matzav of danger, because he may say, listen, being a HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls my destiny, and it is bashar that I should live kach v'kach, so what problem? Why should I be able to put myself in a matzav of danger? I'll certainly be spared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spare my life. Because he says, Mamon of Sheikh, he says, if I'm supposed to live, I'm going to live anyway. And if not, not. So Chovas Avovis says, with all the emunah and bitachon, that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, controls a person's destiny, does not give a person a license, does not give him a license to enter in a matzav of sakona, because if he does enter in a matzav of sakona, one of two things may happen. The worst thing that will happen is, the worst thing that would happen is, that Chas v'Shalom he'll die. And if that happens, he'll be Mischai ben Afshoy, he's considered a Ritzeach, he's considered a person who's Ma'abed Atzmo Elodas, and he says it's even worse. He says worse than killing someone else, the closer, the relative that a person commits murder to is worse, and there's no one closer than yourself. So he pointed out, so one of two things may happen. So the first thing we're talking about, that if you put yourself in danger, Chas v'Shalom, what may happen is the danger in fact may happen. And you can't have a tiny, because God controls my destiny and I'm supposed to live. But if you go ahead and put yourself into danger, then you yourself with your own hands can destroy that which otherwise would have been a good normal life. And he goes on to prove it. And he says, I'll bring you a raya. That no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind, but if you can, you have the ability to use your own hands to destroy that otherwise would have been your lot. And he goes on to say, Valkein Atamoitse, we find Shmuel Olav Hasholem. We find by Shmuel Hanavi. The small Hagdome. Shmuel HaNavi was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and to anoint David HaMelech. David HaMelech after Shaul HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Shmuel HaNavi, right, that instead of Shaul, right, that David HaMelech should be king. Shmuel HaNavi, interesting, can you imagine this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is talking to him. He's a Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want you to go, and you go and anoint, make David HaMelech as a king. Shmuel HaNavi says, I should go. You want me, imagine questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you want me to go and anoint David HaMelech as a king? If Shaul HaMelech hears it, he'll kill me. Shmuel HaNavi is worried Shaul will kill him. Hashem sent him. Hashem is sending him. Hashem says, I want you to go and anoint David HaMelech as a king. And Shmuel HaNavi's response is, how can I go? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his taina and gives him an etzah. How to protect himself? Let's take a look. Valkein Atomoitse, says the Chovas Avovis, very fascinating. We find that Shmuel Olav Hasholem Omer. Shmuel responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sent him to go and anoint. Asked him to go, Limshoyach is David HaMelech. Shmuel HaNavi says, Eich Eilach, how can I go? Vishom HaShol, V'haraguni. Shol will go and he will kill me. And yet, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not indict him for that. You could imagine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, Shmuel, do you realize what you're saying? I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm telling you to go, and you have qualms, you have fears, you have questions about the efficacy of being able to do that. But no, we don't find in any place, Adrab, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding very, very calmly and giving him an answer. We don't find the Shmuel's concern to be a chesar and bitochen. As a matter of fact, Adrabe, from the tshuva, from the answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered to Shmuel, we can see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated his concern. Not only it wasn't a chasaron, from the answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll see, gave to Shmuel to his question, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even appreciated it. We see what's the lashon here. He says, from the tshuva melekim loy, we see b'mashim moire, it teaches us ki zirizusoy bozeh mishubachas. We see that Shmuel HaNavi's concern, as a matter of fact, was praiseworthy, was admirable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here, I'll give you an etzah. What you'll go, he says, is in a hidden way. You will not reveal your true intentions, because when you're going to come, you're going to come along with an animal. Eglas bokar tikam biyadecho. When you, Shmuel, are going to come to find Dovin HaMelech and approach Dovin HaMelech, you're going to come with an animal, with an eglas bokar. Right? You're going to come with a calf. You can come, and you'll be able to have an excuse, a pretext, with Bayach Hashem Bosi. I'm coming to Bayach Hashem. So we see that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving Shmuel HaNavi a way, b'derech hateva, to protect himself. He says, Ushara Yinyan, and the rest that's mentioned. Says the Choy V'Sal Vavis, now make a cheshm. V'ilu hoyezeh kitzra bibit choynoi. He says, if the question of Shmuel HaNavi would be a chasorin, right? Would be a chasorin in bitochim, then of course, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have answered, hoyezeh tshuva eilov. The common or the expected response should have been, the response should have been, the posik in Dvarim Lamed Beis, ani omis va'achayim machatzim ani erpa. What do you mean, Shmuel HaNavi? You're worried that what? You're worried that Shmuel's going to kill you. I give life and I determine death. I make people sick and I heal. I inflict wounds. Ani machatzim. It's me. It's all up to me. What do you mean you're afraid? Shmuel HaMelech is going to do this to you. That should have been the answer. As a matter of fact, we find Oyadoy Maloy or similar. He said, "Kamoy Shomar," and we find, as a matter of fact, the Moshe Leval Sholem. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking a question. He Eish Shomar Loy. We find when Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu says that Kodesh Baruch Hu sends him on the shlichus, that he should be the shliach to go to Paroi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm concerned." He says, "I have no power of speech." Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, "I'm lacking the power of proper communication because I have a mum." I have a mum in the mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that what I have problems with my mouth and my lips, so I'm not able to really be a proper communicator. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Mi som peli yodom, or mi yosum ilein? Who is the one who gives a mouth to a person? Or cherish and pikei chayiver? Who is the one who controls blindness and so on and so forth? Who's able to hear, not to hear, and speak?" That's Kodesh Baruch Hu said that to Moshe Rabbeinu. So now the Im Shmuel, as he points out. So the Im Shmuel Im Toim Tzidkosoi, and if Shmuel, let's say, even though it's clear he was a tremendous tzaddik, that's no question. Now if Shmuel HaNavi, in spite of being a great tzaddik, says the Choy V'Savos, imagine, if Shmuel HaNavi, in spite of being a great tzaddik, still was concerned, b'derech hateva, there might be a sakone, how can you, common poshet yid, think that you have such bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should be entitled to put yourself in a sakana, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls my destiny, I have nothing to worry about. If Shmuel, being the greatest tzaddik that he was, the great tzaddik he was, did have concern b'derech hateva that things should go smoothly, so you and we and everybody else, avad and avad, we don't come to anywhere to be able to match up to Shmuel HaNavi. And if Shmuel was entitled, as we see from the dialogue between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to find a way b'derech hateva not to get involved in a yonam of danger. So the Im Shmuel, he said, make him like a kal v'chomer. That if Shmuel HaNavi, im toim tzidkosoi, in spite of his tamimis, his complete tzidkis, he says, loy hei kal hi konas b'sibi ketane, misibi saskone, he didn't allow himself even in any way, in any which way, to allow himself to enter a matzav of sakone, apapi, he says, now look what he says, in spite of the fact that yinichnas bo, if he would, it would be b'mitzvah avayra yisbara. As a matter of fact, we could have heard it by Shmuel HaNavi. If anything, Shmuel HaNavi could have been excused to have a terrorist, to go into a matzav sakona, because if anything, it was b'mitzvah sabayre. Kishomar, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Shmuel HaNavi, he said to him, Malei karno choshemen, fill your horn with oil, because that's the way they used to anoint kings from a horn. They took a horn, they filled, that was the kli. He said, Malei karno choshemen, fill your horn. He says, Velech, and go. He says to him, Eshlachacha, and I will send you, as the Pasuk says, El Yishai Beis Alachmi. And yet, Shmuel HaNavi, even though he was going b'mitzvah sabayre, yet he was concerned and wanted that the Derech HaTeva should not be into a matzav of sakone, with all the emunah, with all the bitochen. But you don't have a right, does not give you a right, like Kitchil, if you can do it b'derech. If you can do it b'derech, certainly in a way that should not be askone, Shmuel HaNavi wants to figure out a way. So Koshkin, she is a Meguna Muzulosoy. Certainly this is something that would be very shameful. Meguna means avada. Imagine how negative a practice would be somebody other than Shmuel. Nebilti mitzvah sabayir yisal. More matter of fact, there was no mitzvah sabayir to allow you and to be mitzvah you to go into such a matzv, and you go ahead and you do it. So Rabbi Sai, So therefore, again, says the Chovas Avovas, there is no license for a person to say, listen, being that I have a munah, that Kosh Baruch controls my fate, my destiny, so what have I got to lose? I'm not to worry about. I can run red lights, no matter, no problem. Because Basherech Zoleim, I'm going to live. So what's the problem? No problem. So you have no right to do that. You have no right to do that, because one or two things will happen. Okay. Number one, till now, number one is, the worst case scenario is, number one is, as he said, is, Chas V'Sholem, he says, you may not make it. Run a red light, put yourself in a matzav of a sakona, and he says, you'll be chai for Ritzicha. Okay, now what's the best case scenario? Best case scenario is, you put yourself in a matzav of a sakona, and you do make it. You know what the Chovas says, the famous Gemara, if a nes happens to you, there's a big price. You realize how much Olam Haba goes off? And that's happened to you. And that's happened to you, you realize there is a big bill to pay. There's a tremendous bill to pay, and it's going to cost you a lot. So what did you gain? Monav Sheikh, worst case scenario, Chas V'Sholem, something terrible might happen. Best case scenario, you put yourself in the matzah of a sakona, and you were saved. But you realize how much zuchias you lost. So who's galoint? Was it Kedai? Oi, he said, this is the oi. This is the Chovas Avovas further. The second possibility, that if you put yourself in the matzah of a sakona, he says, oi, she you not so bez with Saboiri Yisborach. Loi. Okay, so best case scenario is, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. But the yoivdu zuchuyoysov yavsitz choroi. But what's going to happen is, he's going to lose, he says, his zochias and his char, k'mashom rabu sein zachroin levrocha. We find Chazal say b'zeinu Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says the following words. The Gemara says, "La'olam al yamoid odom b'makim sakona." A person should not put himself in a matzav of sakona. The yoimer will say, "Shoysin loynes." I'm confident this is going to happen. Don't do that. Why? Because even if you're right, that a nes is going to happen, first of all, shema einoysin loynes. You don't know. Maybe a nes is not going to happen. They're going to take away from your mitzvahs. They're going to rob you of your zochias. Who greater than Yaakov Avinu? Va'omer Yaakov Avinu Olav Hasholem Yaakov Avinu, who is zochet to so many different nisim. He had mises with Esav and so on and so forth, and all the different encounters that Yaakov Avinu encountered, and he made it safely. He says, "Katointi mikol achasodim." Not katointi mikol achasodim means katointi, which means my zochias have become reduced. Katointi means I have very little left, he says. I used to have a lot of mitzvahs, a lot of zochias, but katointi, they have become small. They have shrunk. What is the targum taich? What is targum munkalu saying the words katointi mikol achasodim? Katointi means ze'eron zachvosi. My zochias have become ze'er. Ze'er means small. Mikol chizdin from all the chesed, mikol tavivon from all the toiv that Kadosh Baruch Hu performed on my behalf. And we know what the Gemara tells us, as a matter of fact, in Sechta Shabbos, Gemara tells a mice of a person whose wife had passed away, and he had a young child which needed to be nursed. He didn't have a wife to nurse the child. And the child was in danger of dying, and it was between Abaye and Rava over there, regarding how to look upon the tremendous nest that happened. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, the Moimar said that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nest, that Nivro Ishnei Dadim Kidade Yisho, that right, that his body developed like a woman, that he should be able, in that area, he should be able to nurse his child. It's a tremendous nest. A man was able to nurse his child, had milk. So one of them, between Abai and Rav, one of them says, Kame God Lodom Zeh, how great is this person to deserve such a nest? That's testimony to the godliness of a person. Shmuel created Shnei Dadim that he should be able to nurse. And the other said, Kama Gerua Odom Zeh. What he meant to say was, of course, I mean, yeah, he had to be a great man, but Kama Gerua, he says, to have something like that happen, the Yeshua should have come maybe in a more natural way, because to have such an as happen, Menachem Yischir Yosef, you can imagine how many Zochias he lost. So that is not the best thing for a person should look for a solution in Bederach Nes. But rather to find that it should come more b'derech hateva, because when it comes b'derech nes, so it's menachem loim mizuchu yosef. As a matter of fact, you know, when it comes to the nes of Chanukah, and of course we say the Alanisin, and the remote tells us, kidua, that if someone forgot to say Alanisin, you don't go back. You don't go back, for example, on the benching, you forgot to say Alanisin, you don't go back. But at the end, by the Rachamons, You know, you should say, insert Harachim on Yasel Onu Nisim, Kemoish Sisal of Asenu, Beyond Mahem Bazmanazeh. So when you say at the end of the Rachamans, like you say by Rish Chodesh, you say Rachman by Yontif, you say Rachman by Shabbos, Rachman Yan Chileinu. The Rachamans, you fill in. And then the Mefarshim, the Bechor Shor, and the great Mefarshim, they ask Akasha, what do you mean? We should be mispowel for an S? We should not be mispowel for an S. Because we find the Gemara tells us, if you mispowel for an S again, we're being Menachem and Mischa Yosef, you're going to lose from your Zogayas. So what is it that the Ramah tells us that if a person forgot Al Nisim, he should say it in the Lashon HaRachamon, he's asking Rachmanes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the All-Merciful, that he should continue to do Nisim for us, the Chayim not mispowel for an S. And the Yeshua Yaakov says, Nisperishon Shulchan Aruch, Yeshua Yaakov says, listen, if an S happens to you personally, Klal Yisrael doesn't gain by it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really gain by it, in the world at large, so then, you know, this is an expense, you know, that you have to absorb. And Menachem is Chayosef. But a nest such as Chanukah, all the greatness that happened, this was a Kiddushim Shemaim in the world. And Memela Kodesh Baruch Hu's name was promoted, Kodesh Baruch Hu's name was enhanced, Kodesh Baruch Hu was glorified. So he says, whatever you may lose by a nest happening for your sake, he says, or for Klal Yisrael's sake, the gain that they gain from being Marbik for Shemaim outnumbers and outweighs, he says, any liability of any tzad of the nest happening on your behalf. So if a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes out ahead, so then it's worthwhile. So points out the Yeshua Yaakov. So he goes on further. And he says, "V'kamoy shomarnu." And what? So now, so we said when it comes to Chaim Umovis, when it comes to life and death issues, don't rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu on Nisim. You have to do the right thing. So quite simple, Rabbi Yisai. A person runs a red light, and you made it? You made it, yeah? But you know what? You don't know what kind of price you might pay in Shomai. You don't know. You don't have the cheshem. It all depends how great the danger was. Not all red lights are exactly the same level of danger. But according to the situations, you say, "Oh, I made it." But you realize, "Menachem is chayosav." So this is very, very important. Nekude. If an S happens to you, or a Yeshua happens, something extraordinary Yeshua, there's a price. So this is therefore you have to conduct your ways in a way to avoid putting yourself in these matzovim. Says the Chovas Avodas, not only is this true in life and death issues, that a person shouldn't say, again, Kodesh Baruch Hu controls my destiny, he controls the length of my life, I can do what I want. No. You have to do the right thing. Same thing by Parnos also. Say, Kodesh Baruch Hu controls my destiny, says Bashir, I make $50,000 this year, I don't have to do much. Kodesh Baruch Hu will throw in the $50,000 through the window. So it's not going to happen. He says, the same way that we said when regarding life and death, you have to do the right thing. Also controlling your health. Health issues. Personal say, you know what? I'll smoke and I'll do everything that's detrimental to my health. It's not going to hurt me. Why? Because Baruch Hu said that I'm going to live to 80, 90 or whatever it is. So smoking is not going to hurt me. Or whatever the situation should be. You have to control, do the right thing when it comes to brios. The hamozoin regarding food supply, the malbush and clothing, the hadira where you're going to live, the amidus atoivis regarding good character. Will a harchish connect them and see to distance yourself for things that are the opposite? Imbir emenosoi. In spite of the fact that you have a large emuna, great emuna, in spite of the fact that you have great emuna, that does not mean, that does not absolve you from your chrayis of doing what you have to do. The emunah only means is that what you do doesn't help only because Kodesh Baruch Hu wills it so, but you have to do it. But it's not the sima that does it. And the same if somebody has a farm. Somebody's going to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to be matzliach this year. I'm going to have 5,000 bushels of grain. I have to bother planting. I have to bother being chayrish. You try that and you'll see. In the same way that a person who owns a field, he has to plow it, you have to clear it from the thorns, and you have to plant it, you have to water it if he has water. And then with all that, now your emunah comes in that Kodesh Baruch Hu should give a bracha in everything that you have done. That's with the emunah. He says, to make it fertile, to protect it from all the, you know, the hurricanes and all the things that could cause damage. The tirbit wasa. He said, because Baruch Hu should give it a bracha. The ain royaloi, it would not be appropriate, certainly, to leave it fallow without doing anything. I'm going to have bitoch like zeres abayra. Of course not. The same thing with any vocation, any profession. V'hazchayre, or people do business. V'hazchiris, you know, people who do, they work with hire and so on and so forth. Mitzuvin lechazer alater of behem, they have to pursue their livelihood. Im habitochen belukim. On top of bitochen, you have to pursue it. Ki ater b'yodei reshusoi. You can choose, he says. You can choose, he says, what type of what you're going to try to do. Vishu or a boy, the type of profession that you have, you know, that you find favor in it, that you find comfort in it. Lodom, umashlim aloy bezisibishirse. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow this sibis to work out. But do not think, vayachshev, do not think for one moment, ki asibit toyileu. That is the sibit. That it was the malocha that gave you the harvocha. It was the malocha oitazikei muma. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can hurt you or damage you. This is only it comes mikrei chaboyre. So again, these are the fundamental, again, yesoides here, Rabbi Yisai, of the choyves avovus. And again, as we point out, the avoid of a yid, that what he has to do should never be a steer with his bitochen. He has to do what he has to do. Betochen adrabe, the koich betochen is that whatever he does not happen by itself in terms of the atzlochim, what he does, it's not his own efforts, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give bracha in his efforts, and that is always the source of his bracha. Just again, Rabbi Yisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, controls the world. Ramosha Feinstein's Zatzal used to say many times, he says, you know, Shabbos is testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Yontif, of course, also is a day of rest. He says, now, what is really the difference in regarding the Hashkofe, in terms of Amunah between Shabbos and Yontif, testimony to Kadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world, that Rav Moshe brings down in the Sefer, says Shabbos tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Kisheses Yom HaMos Hashem, and the seventh day. Yontif, we are celebrating events, either Mitzrayim, Sukkos with Sukkos, Shavuos Matan Torah. Yontif is testimony that Kadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. There were always people in the world of philosophy who had the opinion that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and now it runs by itself. There's such a thing. There's such a sad to say. Because what we created the world, here. Go. Now, the way you're going to do it, deal with it. And things will just happen the way they happen. By chance, and so on and so forth. Yontif tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu not only created the world, that was Shabbos, he created the world. Yontif tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu controls the world. All of the events we celebrate to show that these events happen because Kodesh Baruch Hu made these events happen, and we commemorate them, and we remember them. The Rabbi said, let's just end with again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controlling the world, and our betochen amun on Hashem. Of course, Bankei Sholem v'Radfeihu is always an inyan to pursue Sholem, to pursue peace. And whenever there are sometimes reasons between two people, that you have dissension and you have machlekes, of course, the Derech HaTorah is always to try to find a way and to try to pursue Sholem. Go so far that when it came to the day of creation, the second day, Rashi tells us in the Chumash, does not say Kitoiv. Bayoim Sheni Babriya Soilam does not say Kitoiv. Why? Because on that day, Nivro Machloikis. Because Machloikis, conflict was created. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayavdel, he separated the waters. He separated the waters Mitachas Rikia to the Mayim that's Mial Rikia, even though it was necessary. It was necessary to make the Havdola, but it was separation. And the idea is that being that generally separation connotes conflict, that's not a good thing. So Kapon, the Torah didn't attach the word Kitoiv. Dissension, separation, conflict, breaking Ardus. Zamaiser Rabbi Sai, fascinating thing by a Yid, his name was David Friedman. David Friedman, a very, very busy person. Busy person also in his community affairs. He was involved with the Erev of the town, was in Boston. He was involved with the school, was involved with the yeshiva, was involved with the Beis Yaakov, and so on and so forth. And also he was involved with national and international tzedakah organizations. Very, very busy person. In addition to that, he also ran a very successful business, and his business happened to be with curtains. Bring up curtains and blinds and so on and so forth. His phones never stopped ringing. He was Baruch Hashem very matzliach and so on. The maisa was that in a neighboring town of Lowell, and did I pronounce it correctly? Anyway, so there was a woman, it was a Mrs. Silver, who calls up and puts in an order that she would like to meet him to discuss various options of draperies, shades, blinds and screens and so on and so forth. He wrote down the appointment. Somehow he lost the note, lost the tzettel, and he didn't show up. She was waiting all day, like happens many times, expect the person to arrive, he never arrived. She was very, very upset. And she left a message on the machine, and from the tone of her voice you could see that she was far from happy. And she had a good few words there telling him, and this was the message that she left. He returns the call, and he says very clearly, he says, yeah, he says, this is Dov Friedman. He said, David Friedman, he said, but Lamaise said, listen, I have no excuses, but I want you to know I was overworked. Push it. And I lost the note. He says, I penciled it in somewhere, he says, and I forgot it. Please forgive me. She was not a forgiving mood. She says to him, she's teaching him, she's telling him, listen, you're a businessman. It's your job to have a better system. If you're talking busy, so have a better system, he says to him. I'm recording it. He said, and she says to him, my time is just as valuable as yours. Sayyid had an appointment in a doctor's office. His appointment was for 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Didn't get to see the doctor until 4 o'clock and so on and so forth. After the doctor took care of him, and 2 weeks later the bill comes. It's a $500 bill. So he says to the doctor, you got $500 bills. I'm a lawyer. I charge $250 an hour. You're 2 hours late, so I'm charging you, he says, $500, he says, for waiting time. So my time is just as valuable as yours, he says. My time is also valuable. What do you think? I'm charging you for my time. So this is what she said to him, Al-Kaponim. She said, my time is just as valuable as yours. So Meli says, he says, I'm sorry, and so on and so forth. And he says, please give me another appointment. Give me another appointment. He said, let me make it up to you. And I promise you, he says, I'll be on time. And so on. Befrat, this Mrs. Silver was not a frum lady, and he was a frum person, didn't want to be a chil Hashem. He was concerned about it. No. So she hears that. So she says, you know what? One Jew, she said, should always give another Jew a chance, she said. One Jew, this is the word she said, one Jew should always give another Jew a chance, come Monday morning at 10 o'clock, and to be there. Anyway, he says, you can count on it. Monday morning, 10 to 10, he's there. 10 to 10, he's there, he arrives, rings the doorbell. It was a very rich type of a home, looking home, seemed to be a very affluent person. He rings the doorbell. Suddenly the door opens in a flash, and there's a teenage girl there standing at the door, and she screams, what are you doing here? I didn't call you, you don't belong here. The girl says. He says, what do you mean? He says, I have a 10 o'clock appointment. The girl says, my mother just collapsed in the kitchen, she says. We're waiting for an ambulance. I think she had a stroke. He says, really? He says, you know what? I'm a medic. He's not only a curtain salesman. He says, I'm a medic, he says. And matter of fact, he was one of the mainstay of Hatzolah over there in Boston, and he was considered to be one of the most experienced of the crew. And she grabbed all of his, he had all his stuff with him, so he grabbed all his medical stuff, and he ran back in the house, and he realized that she was barely breathing, her neck muscles became paralyzed, and her tongue, which fell back, was not allowing her to breathe. So he quickly opened up the passage and got her to breathe. He saved her life. Mamish literally saved her life. A few days later, when he visits her, he goes and he visits her in the hospital, she says, you know something? I thought I was giving you a chance, but I realized that you gave me one more chance of life. This is Rabbi Yisai. Again, here's Hashgacha Pratis. Here's how we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And it happened, you know why? Because one Jew should always give another Jew one more chance. Rabbi Yisai.